Tēnā koe, Lucy. Koutou e whakarongo mai nā. Tēnā koutou, katoa. Nau mai, hara mai, ki tēnei whakaaturanga o Aratoi, i roto i Aratoi, o Ngāti Kahungunu, ki te Wairarapa Tai atu, ki Tāmaki Nui Arua. Nō reira, tēnā koutou. Ko Hāmi te whaiti, tōku ingo. So, welcome, and welcome to those listening. And my name is Hāmi Te Whaiti. I welcome you to this exhibition of ours, which we've put together, which relates to our Ngāti Kahungunu treaty settlement within Wairarapa and all the way up to the area north of Dannevirke, so Tāmaki Nui Arua. So I can take you through it. The name of the exhibition is Te Marae o Rongo Taketake. Redressing our kahungunu history. I mean, the redress part, we sort of understand, you know, in terms of the treaty settlement. Rongo Taketake is a concept that our people held very, were very strong in within the Wairarapa from very early times of colonisation. They wanted Rongo Taketake really is about enduring peace, but we've used it in this sense as around the idea of an enduring settlement, you know. So between, you know, Ngāti Kahungunu and the Crown, but Rongo Taketake is warring tribes bringing about an enduring peace, and they do that with the full use of their powers. And it's a, there are other words to describe it, rongo mau and maunga rongo, but it all means the same, pretty much. And Rongo Taketake is also got an added layer in that it's a part of the higher school of our whare wānanga, the meeting house in the whare wānanga, and it's a particular place where pupils in that learning institution would sit and recite their karakia. So it's also a place of learning, mm-hmm. as well. And so this is how we came to the, you know, the idea, and we structured it along the lines of marae. It's really the title. We're not saying Aratoi is now marae. It's really the title. Yeah. And we structured the exhibition around, you know, going through the pōhiri process. Yeah. As on the marae and those combinations, you know, we thought that was most appropriate a name. Now, the thing about Rongo Taketake is, too, is that this person here, Ngairo Rākai Hikaru, he built a marae at Waihinga, which is just near Martinborough, yep. on the Ruamahanga River, and he called that marae Te Rongo Taketake. And we think it was a marae for the kingitanga. This is 1859. So, you know, this is a short time after the big crown purchases were done in 1853 and following. In 1859, our people felt so aggrieved that they joined the kingitanga. And this, which was around the time that the kingitanga was getting started. Right. And there are references to, you know, the Wairarapa being one of the pō of the kingitanga, so being one of the strongholds of the kingitanga. And at that period, it was only like 8 of them, right. and Wairarapa was one. Right. So it was our first political protest, and the marae was Te Rongo Taketake.
How long have you been planning this exhibition?
Well, because we've got artifacts or taonga from, we've got them from the other side of the world, actually, from the United States. Good. We've got a taonga from there. So we had to be fairly well advanced in our planning to be able to request loans. We started planning probably a little over 2 years ago, but the actual putting the shape to it, the form to it, has only been probably in the last 6 months. exhibition, which is we've sort of structured it along the lines of what people would go through in a welcoming process.
Right.
That they might do on a marae, or there are other places that people become get welcomed through this these protocols. And so this is the entry part, which is the entry, and we call it the area of the karanga, which is the welcome. And here we've got these are called whaiwhai patterns, and they are representative of some of our marae throughout the area, and they're the sorts of patterns that you see in rafters, over windows and doors and that sort of thing. These ones come from the porch area of some marae. Some of them sadly no longer exist, but some of them do.
Right.
And they're a selection of those images that you see when you're walking onto the marae. And generally they called whaiwhai might represent nature, but certain significant values as well.
Right.
But this is the area of the karanga, or the welcome. So this is, we've blown this image up, which is the image of from the day of the signing over of Lake Wairarapa to the government of our people.
Goodness.
It's taken on that day.
And where was this
And
location?
This was at Papawai.
Right.
This was done at Papawai. And you see they've got, we've got an example of this in here. That's a hinaki, which is for catching eels. It's a big one, so you think that is probably what was used in Lake Wairarapa, the migrating eels. That's the type of, basket or hinaki that will get used. But there's, you've got the sed in here. These are the main figures in that lake transaction, I suppose. There's a whole committee and a whole group of people and some of the parliamentarians, but there's Seddon and also Tamaho Mahupuku from Papawai.
And, there's got to be, it looks like maybe 150 people.
That Papawai held huge events.
Right.
I mean, there was nothing for a thousand people to be, at that marae.
And what would the mood have been at this stage with the signing over of the lake to the government?
Well, that's a good question. The mood would have been something, hope. There
yes.
would have been a belief that, the sorts of things that Seddon was saying about what was going to happen after the lake was gifted, eh? The lake was gifted. So that in itself makes for a sense of, pride.
Yeah.
And I guess, we'll see some of these taonga that were gifted as well. I mean, that's comes from, a very strong sense of pride and what you think you're doing is the right thing, So it was gifted to resolve issues between Māori and the settler community in around the lake area. In fact, probably spread across most of the valley, issues around, Lake Wairarapa. So it was a gift. So I would think the mood would have been one of, it was a like a joyful occasion, in pride,
Yes.
And certainly Seddon's words in responding to that gift were that, they would be able to, our people would be able to retain the control of the resources in the lake. And, and hopefully, to some extent, what's happening through the treaty settlement is taking it a little bit way back to that promise, which
yes.
is, I mean, the lake's is going to come back to us. So the lake bed itself is going to come back to, both Ngāti Kahungunu and Rangitāne. And then there's some other reserves that are out around the lake that will be coming to Ngāti Kahungunu as well. So that's you know, that's a gives us a bit of a fresh beginning. Initial part of coming to a marae, so there's the karanga, and then there's also acknowledgement of people who have passed away. And these are the people here who have been involved in the last 30 years in the treaty settlement process, directly, either as claimants or who gave evidence between the before the Waitangi tribunal, and who have passed away in this. And we've also endeavoured to, these are personal adornments. So the thing about these taonga, and you talked about the amount of time it's taken to prepare for this exhibition. We, during our negotiations process, and actually during the tribunal hearings, portable taonga has always been a significant issue for Māori, I mean, and concerns, especially when they get taken overseas and be sold, you know, overseas. So, and they have been for our people as well. So, what we did was we had a research study being done as we were going through our negotiations, and to trace all the taonga that are in museums, whether they're in this country or overseas, you know, anywhere in the world, back provenance, that provenance back to here. So we put a whole database together of taonga, and then from that, which was done, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, and from that we've then made a selection of those of those taonga, so, and they, you know, are throughout the exhibition, but there are some very significant and beautiful taonga. So these are focused around personal adornments. So you've got, you know, the hiru, which is the comb, which is comes from up the north of Castle Point, or Akitio actually. So Waimata River, it's north of Akitio.
And a beautiful shark.
Yeah, from Palliser Bay. And also the shell necklace also from out at Matai Corner. So that's north of Castle Point.
And so when are the exhibition is closed, will these go back to the people?
They'll go back, yeah. So these are on loan from, and it's, you know, from Te Papa.
Oh, yes.
These are all from Te Papa, actually. And so is this one here. This one's been around the world already, which is why it's got its own case. And it's a it's an unusual form, or it's a tiki, and it's made from what they say is a cockle dog shell. Dog cockle shell.
Wow.
Which is some sort of cockle shell.
And
so it's beautiful, and it's actually been to France and been to the United States.
Well, so
it's well travelled, yeah.
And will it stay here now?
No.
No, it's going back.
But the thing is about, I mean, Te Papa and all the museums have been very, you know, sort of forthright in making these taonga available to us, and they always will be. I mean, in a way, we probably have to, in order to house these taonga that are on loan, and there's lots more at Te Papa and other places. You know, we'd need a bigger museum. We're struggling to afford, you know, this one.
Yeah.
But you know, and sort of these taonga, it'd be lovely to be in a position to have them more permanently. But it's also lovely to have them, you know, for this, you know, for the 5 months that we've got them here.
Yes,
so hopefully we'll, you know, people get to see them and appreciate them as we do. Yeah.
And I think it's wonderful having these pieces, these personal adornments with the photographs of the people.
Yeah.
It makes it very personal and intimate experience, this particular room.
Yeah.
So now we're in a room of portraits.
It's in a room of Lindauer portraits. There's 11 of them here.
Goodness me.
I suppose we were fortunate in a way in that Lindauer lived closely. You know, he lived at some time in Woodville. And I was at the Auckland Art Gallery where they have the Partridge Collection, a big, huge, you know, a collection of Lindauer paintings. And some of these were there, and one of the curators said to me, it was great having the Wairarapa ones here, because a lot of Lindauer's that were done on commission by somebody else, not the person in the portrait, whereas a lot of these ones were done for Māori themselves. And I guess you'd think that that's because of the proximity of Lindauer to here.
Yeah. They are. So now we're in the main room.
Yeah, main gallery.
Yep.
And so we've come into the Marae proper. This is the area the local people do their welcome, their whai kōrero. The first thing that they talk about is who they are. And this area here is about us as Ngāti Kahungunu. And so those are the stories that are around where we've come from.
Yep.
Our links all the way back to Hawaiki, to the other parts of Polynesia, how we got to, you know, Aotearoa, to New Zealand, and then how we got to Wairarapa, and how we established ourselves in the Wairarapa. These are stories in here.
And just describe some of the larger objects for me.
Okay.
There's some incredible.
Well, let's start with this one because this is the largest.
Yes, it is the largest.
This is the entire carving from the front of a meeting house. And the meeting house, the one at Te Oriori, Ngā Tau E Waru. In the 1930s, the first meeting house was burnt down. And they built a new one, which is the one that's there now.
Yep.
And these were the carvings that embellished the front, the porch. If you look at this image here.
Oh, yes, there is a photograph.
You'll see the photograph. This is the old one.
Wow.
We haven't put up a photo of this one, but this is the old one. And you see the carvings are similarly structured as what was there before. The amazing thing about these, although those carvings were done, by some people outside of the district, these were all done by our own people. So, and at some point in the early 2000s, the Marae decided that they were going to take these down and put new ones up.
Right.
They got into a state where they needed to decide whether they're going to restore them or not, and they decided not to and put new ones up.
Right.
But the family of the carvers decided that they wanted to keep them and restore them, which is what they've done. We were very fortunate to have.
Yeah. So where was this being kept before it arrived here for the exhibition?
It was being kept in the family property, you know.
It's a big
house.
Thing to keep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I wasn't sitting like this. This is probably the first time it's been up in this form.
Right. Because it stands about 4 metres tall, would you say? And it's got to be a good 6 or 7 metres wide.
Yeah.
It's absolutely stunning.
Yeah.
They must be very proud to
They're proud. Well, we're proud of them that they did the work on it and got them to this point. Now, And you know, they are. They're very pleased to have them up.
And it fits just right, doesn't it? It's uncanny.
Certainly does.
Yeah. Just behind us is a very big wokka, a very beautiful wokka as well, and quite plain and simple. What, do you know the story behind this particular object?
I know a little bit of the story, only the more recent one, since it was. It comes from the area around the Wahinga Mahaki area, south of Martinborough, so on the Ruamahanga. And at a period in time, there were a few villages there, and I mean, this would have been a waka. This was a waka that was used to carry people, you know, ferrying around along the river, and maybe doing a bit of fishing with a hinaki or something, you know. And so it did. It came from Mahaki. It was found by the archaeologists were not found, but it was just, you know, seen by the archaeologists from Otago University. Mm-hmm. So Foss Leach and Helen and who were doing the Palliser Bay exhibition, and they sort of ventured into the lake area as well, and in other places around the whatever, with recording artifacts and where they were, and they came across a few of these and made provision for them with the owners for them to go to Te Papa. Wow. So they were saved in
a
way.
It's so beautiful in its simplicity. It's got to be, 10 metres long?
It's almost 8. Almost 8 metres. Yeah, it's got some features. Actually, there's one in cobblestone. It comes from the same area, and it's got a very similar structure.
Mm-hmm.
May have even been carved by the same person, but you see there's the mayor's seat there.
Yes.
And there's some other, that's a raised, slightly raised. What is going on in this display, really, and it's, you know, it's around the land loss and alienation. When our people first invited settlers who came in from Wellington, who, because of a whole lot of issues, including there wasn't very suitable land for farming, ended up in the Wairarapa, our people weren't prepared to sell their land, but they were willing to lease it. So there was a whole lot of issues around, well, you know, leasing is another, the types of forms of leases. There are cultural understandings and values around somebody coming and staying on my place and what that actually means to having a formally signed lease or something like that, you know. So there are differences in how that works. But initially they only wanted to lease their land, and they were doing that for something like from the mid-40s through into the 50s. And the Crown didn't suit them to have an economy, a Māori economy, establishing itself here. And so they outlawed, basically, in short, these types of leasing arrangements, and insisted that Māori could only alienate the land to the Crown under the Treaty of Waitangi. So what happened was, and then they also made a whole lot of promises to our people about what would happen if they were to sell their lands, and it's all documented in here, all that. Yeah. And so our people, you know, agreed on the basis of the promises that were made that they would release their land for the Crown to purchase, retain, you know, as much as they needed for themselves. And so this picture shows the years of you know, how that land alienation went.
Right, from 1840.
Starting from 1840.
Yep. And it's an it's a moving image, isn't it? And
yeah, that's right, yeah.
And so the red
in 1860, so by 1860, within 20 years, virtually, you know, 80% was gone, and then, you know, within another, so by 1900, most of it was alienated. So you can see where 1859, our people were starting to realise what was going on, or, you know, some of them are now starting to realise the significance of the agreements that would be made, the promises that were made and not fulfilled, and were beginning to form, you know, part of the political, you know, protest. This is the section really around our coming together and our, you know, in our settlement.
And these are photographic portraits of significant people.
Oh, yeah, of the negotiations team.
Got it, okay.
And the settlement. So there's Ra Smith, there's myself, Mara Matuta, Ron Mark, Ian Perry, Robin Portangaroa, and Hayden Hape, who's from up in Dannevirke. So there's it's the landscape that's as important. It might be even more important than the people in there.
Yep.
So that landscape, I mean, starts at, you know, Wairarapa with Ra, down to Palliser Bay or Cape Palliser, you know, in the back of Papawai, over the hills from looking from west to east, you know, around Carterton.
Yep.
Up in Tinui, Castle Point, and further up in the Dannevirke area.
I mean, what's the feedback been like from the public?
You better to ask them at the front, but I think that it's been very positive.
Yeah, I've heard some rave reviews from people who've come and seen it. And I'd love to come here with my kids and show them. Yeah, definitely. It's beautiful. And I think... it's been wonderful hearing from you, you know, the meaning behind the title and the stories behind some of these pieces. So thank you ever so much for your time.
You.
I know you're a busy guy.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
On your head speed is subpar.